Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call tonight. My, but it's good to have you with us. Praise Yahweh. Hope and trust that you had a safe and healthy weekend, praise Yahweh, since last Friday when we closed out the show last Friday night. We were in the subject of the genealogy. We're going to conclude our search tonight in the genealogy episode of Ephraim's descendants. Tonight will be the last night of this series of tapes that we've done on Ephraim. There will be a total of 12 of these tapes all together. If you'd like to order them, just call Pastor Buddy at area code 423-626-2172. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 2284. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, and we'll get this exciting series. Ladies and gentlemen, we believe the most important of all the series of tapes that we've ever done in the ministry, these 12 tapes constitute the most important segment of the teachings that we do. Now, we'll tell you why. Because the genealogy downline is very important. It proves a birthright. Now, the word birthright is only mentioned, listen to me now, only 9 times in the Bible. Well, that is a few times, but we're going to give you some more surprises about the word genealogy. If you go into your Strong's Concordance, you will find that the word genealogy, now think about this, of all of the scriptures that search out the bloodline descendants of these 12 Union tribes, the word itself, genealogy, is only mentioned 15 times. In the scriptures, 5 and 1 is 6, and 6 is the number of the man. The word genealogies in the plural is mentioned only 8 times for a total of 23 times for the entire Bible, Old Parchment and New. Now, we find that rather amazing that the word genealogy or the emphasis, if you will, on genealogy downlines. We could give you a more better understanding by telling you this, that just before his death, Jacob declared Ephraim to be his primary heir after Joseph. His personal name, talking about Ephraim, is recorded last in Genesis 50:23, and we're talking about Joseph in this case. Joseph saw the third generation of Ephraim's sons. After that, exclusively, now listen to this, something wrong here, folks. Ephraim completely disappears in a genealogy downline. Now, would you think that that would be a bit strange by the scribes and the Pharisees who hated this bloodline, who were in control of the copying of the scriptures? Would you trust a scribe in that day when the Messiah himself, when he was here walking among them, he called us to remember to beware of the scribes? Now what? I'll give you an indication that there's something rotten here in the situation in Denmark, as the old saying goes, and that is this. In the book of Nehemiah, we go to chapter 7, verse 5. Read with me, if you will, in the Bible of Nehemiah. And I'll give you just a minute to get there if you're studying along with me. As tonight we're going to ride a fast horse, we're going to try to condense. We've actually pulled this message off the burner here simply because we leave a few things, a few stones, if you will, in the reservoir or in the slingshot ready for those who come against us. We know that there's a lot of ministers listening tonight that doesn't approve of this message. Now, we care not because we preach the truth. And we are publicly saying that something is wrong about the genealogy of Ephraim. It has been completely, almost completely removed from scriptures. This is the only one, the only tribe, if you will, in the downline that had the birthright. Why would this important tribe be exclusively, after Genesis chapter 50:23, this completely disappears from the scene? Something wrong here. Well, we know that there is a separate, now listen to me, that there was a separate list of genealogies kept by the Hebrew system, if you will, detailed. It is actually better than the Mormon. Mormons are noted for genealogy. They have a wonderful, wonderful archive of the Western Europe descendants coming into America, and we admire them for that. We don't admire what they've come to be. If Joseph Smith was resurrected and come back to his church today, the Church of Mormon, then he wouldn't recognize it. It's become the Church of the Latter-day Saints, and the saints of the Latter-day have changed Joseph's doctrine around and twisted it through these series of prophets that have come along to destroy, actually, as did the followers of Herbert W. Armstrong, a popular minister that began his ministry the year that I was born, in 1937. Thereabout, he became very, very popular throughout the years, and then in his old days, he was a noted evangelist, minister, teacher worldwide. But, matter of fact, his church was called the Worldwide Church, and now it is broken and fragmented into so many pieces after his death. You see, when the shepherd dies, the sheep are scattered. Why? Because if we leave our heritage to people, as I have often said, we have just left the hen house door open and turned the fox in among us. And we expect these chickens to survive. Ladies and gentlemen, somebody's going to be prepared for dinner, and it certainly is not the fox or the wolf that we turn loose here. Now, surely I'll give you time to go to Nehemiah chapter 7. And verse 5, listen to me, and my God, this is Nehemiah doing the talking, put into my heart to gather together the nobles and the rulers and the people that they might be reckoned by genealogy. Now, isn't that interesting? Wonder how that he determined that, ladies and gentlemen, when today we are at odds with our own ignorance because we cannot decide who's a who and who's a Jew and who's a Hebrew. Who's an Israelite, and who is an Israelite? Well, here is the problem solution. Nehemiah said, I found a register. That is Strong's number 5612, by the way, which is a book of descendants. Sound familiar? And you wonder why that the scriptures are almost actually barren, only 8 times the word genealogies is mentioned in the Bible. Only 15 times the word genealogy is mentioned. And here they have a register of the nobles and the rulers and of those that are gathered together. A register of genealogy of them which came up at the first and found written therein. Now, remember, let's go back and see what it says here. That was brought up at the first, meaning that this genealogy book was kept from the time they came out of Egypt in detailed count. And ladies and gentlemen, would you wonder where that book has ever gotten to? Would you like to know these things have been purposely hidden or other destroyed? Because somebody doesn't want you to know about the Ephraimite bloodline. And here I am, the lone preacher on the prairie, preaching this message that Jacob, Israel, and the descendants should have clear indication as to who has the birthright and what the birthright means. You grew up, if you were like me, thinking or being told and being encouraged to think, these things placed in your mind early on that the Jews, quote-unquote Jews, were God's chosen people. But I refute that. There is no foundation of Scripture anywhere in the Bible to indicate that other than they were one of the 12 tribes of Jacob. Now, the birthright was to go to Joseph. And Joseph, through the anointing of Jacob, when he gave the blessing, remember, the blessing had to come from Jacob. Jacob didn't choose Judah to lay hands on Judah or any of his descendants. He didn't choose Simeon. He surely didn't choose Asher or so on and so on and so on. And yet when he got to the 11th son, he chose Joseph. And then when he was old and ready to die, he brought Joseph's sons before him, Ephraim, Manasseh, put Ephraim in on the left and Manasseh on the right as Joseph walked him up, hoping that his father would place the blessing upon the elder at the right hand. He didn't do that. He crossed his arms. Therefore, we have the flag of Israel. It is actually not the six-pointed star of David, ladies and gentlemen. It is the crossbars of the Union Jack of the sons of Isaac, and now the Confederate 13 stars and stripes and a crossbar representing the cross hands of our father Jacob, and this heritage has been kept from that date. Ain't it amazing that after Genesis 50:23, Joseph saw actually the third generation of Ephraim's sons, then after that exclusively, Ephraim disappears. The one whose name meant doubly fruitful fades away. And there is no record of him ever passing his rich blessings on to another. Now, do you think that is by grand design, divine inspiration, or do you believe that somebody has monkeyed with the genealogy record accounts? We opt for the latter. Now, we're going to prove it, and tonight we'll not even see it, so stay tuned as Pastor Buddy tries to really load your boat, as we say in Scripture, and give you some meat to chew on as we are moving on tomorrow night to an exciting new series. And we are going to go into the Orion prophecy. Now, the Orion prophecy is a masterpiece, if you will. As we go, we have just concluded that the constellations revolve around Orion. Orion is the center of the object of worship, and the pyramids, believe it or not, are strategically aligned in the Giza desert, and the folks that built them was not the Hamites or the Egyptians. It was built by the descending sons of the Assyrian white race, the sons of Seth, as they erected in the desert there. At this time, this was a beautiful tropical paradise. It was not a desert at that time. And we know for sure that it was not built by the Egyptians. 13 acres of stone, 13 symbolizing the 13 tribes that we are talking about tonight in genealogy. And all this is prophetic prophecy of Isaiah chapter 19, verse 19. Very easy for you to remember that. Go there and see if the Bible don't prophesy that there shall be an altar there. And a monument. The stone monument is in honor of the descending sons of the birthright. Now remember that the capstone, this gold capstone, was never set upon this original building. What a marvelous, marvelous picture. If you could have seen the pyramids, and there's others in the earth, by the way, that have not been found. We will see some later on at Atlantis. These are where that our forefathers, the continent of Atlantis, these that built this edifice there in the land of Shinar, or in the border, at, and it indicates right where the altar will be built, at the midst of the land in Egypt, meaning that the upper and lower Egypt, at the border between the upper and lower, right there on that borderline, strategically placed is a monument of 13 acres of prophecy in stone. That's amazing what that block of stone tells us. There's over 2.5 million blocks of stone averaging over 30 ton each. Praise Yahweh. What a masterful piece of building there. Cannot, will not, forever cannot. We have not the technology. And we go back and we believe that those Hamites about 5,000 years ago built these massive temples. Poppycock. My heavens, where are we going to really wake up and quit believing these accounts of modern history? Going back 5,000 years ago is a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking at least 15 to 30,000 years ago, and we're talking about a special race that built these. These are the same descendants, and not much is written in the Bible about them, is the Melchizedek high priest that knew astronomy and astrology and the mathematical geniuses that designed this and incorporated it into prophecy. These are the same sons and daughters of On in that same general area. Joseph married one of these daughters. They were white Aryan Israelites, progenitors. Israel, Heber, we call these Hebrews now Israelites because Jacob was changed his name to Israel, the prince who wrestled with Yah, so to speak, praise Yahweh. So let's look at this in Nehemiah again, 7:5, a register. Now this is the same as a genealogy lineage downline. If you will look at 56:12 in the Strong's, a roll or a book of genealogy. So then, where is that book at today? You reckon it's purposefully been misplaced? You reckon maybe, perhaps, in the future that this very book that was in Nehemiah's hands or some book like it, I'm sure they were others, as they were very detailed in counting and numbering the genealogy downline to keep the genealogy downline correct because they were meticulously copyists of these numbers and these birthright inheritors. Ephraim disappears completely, and Judah very, very cunningly, somebody has added the tribe of Judah in as the descendant birthright blessers of the birthright. We find that absolutely in error and unacceptable to this ministry. That's why that we hammer on it. That is the thrust of our ministry. We are here to enlighten you and tell you that that is fallacy, and we're going to prove it. Now, if you will, quickly go from there, after we've established the fact of genealogy, only 23 times genealogy or genealogies mentioned in the whole of the Bible. The book of Numbers itself should contain at least 23 examples of genealogy, as it is a numbering system, and this from this came this list that Nehemiah is talking about, and that's why it was very important. Well, somebody has monkeyed with the evidence here, we believe, and we are now the bloodhounds of Yahweh. We are the Hebrews. We are on the trail, and we won't let go. I know that there's a lot of ministers sitting out there nervously hoping that Pastor Buddy would go away. No, they don't play me. They don't replay me on many radio broadcasts. I don't get any free time offered to me. You know why? Because I'm the Lone Ranger. I'm a stranger among these other prophets. I don't teach like they do. I don't preach like they do. Praise Yahweh. I don't run with a thundering herd of tradition. I am swimming up the stream backwards as the water flows, praise Yahweh, against the stream of tradition. But I am swimming, and I am preaching, and I am confirming, and I am proving everything as I go, and that's why that I'm not very popular. Of course, I'm controversial. Of course, they would like for me to go away. Of course, I won't. Why? Because Yahweh said in the last days that all the mystery would be declared. I'm just one of the foundation layers here. There'll be others coming along behind me because, you see, this gospel is not done in a corner. And Yahweh will enlighten others, young men and women, behind me that take up this battle. Praise Yahweh. We have now a young man that has took it upon himself to combine with my ministry here, and we're going to write a article, a full-length article, probably in the neighborhood of 100,000 words or more on this very subject and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, here's something that we'll have in that document for you later on, and we will announce when this is ready. We're in no hurry. We're trying to get everything in line and in order. And that's what the scripture says. Do everything in decency and in order. Now, quickly Matthew chapter 1 again, and then Luke chapter 3. That is where you need to be after I come back from the break. I'm going to show you the tampering of genealogy. Was it deliberate? Yes. Why? To hide the fact that Ephraim was the birthright recipient and that Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, as you would probably know him, was to come through this downline of genealogy bloodline of the birthright inheritors, and we're talking about Ephraim, and how Judah got in there is a masterpiece of deceit and deception on a major scale, and we'll prove it after the break. Now, why would we want to prove this? The Bible said prove all things. Now, if we couldn't prove this, then why would I be up here barking like a dog when some big dog would come up on the porch and he would bark a little bit louder with the truth? You see, the Bible says the gospel will stop every mouth. It just happens to be that I'm on the right bark here. I've got the scriptures, and nobody else wants to take up the issue. You know why? Because we go where others dare to tread. We are those that didn't, we don't have any respect for your feelings. He said, oh, Pastor Patty, I'm insulted. I'll just turn you off. Turn me off. But there'll be a day when you'll be turned on to Yahweh, who will give you a genealogy check. And if you haven't had the right procedures in the downline, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. You better find out before you get there. You better love him before you get there. You better serve him before you get there. You better obey him before you get there. Because when you get there, it's going to be too late to start begging and crying, which a lot will do. Well, we're down at the end of the first 30 minutes. We're coming back in the second half. I'm going to show you the descriptions, the deception that is purposely in the genealogy. Stay tuned. Pastor Buddy, Shepherd's Call. I'm coming back. Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. Hope you got your Bible open. We hope you got your pencil and paper where you can take notes. If you don't, you can get this series of teachings on our archive on the Shepherd's Call on the Truth Radio download. If you would like to have that web page and the information on the Shepherd's Call, if you would like to have our web page, just simply call me at area code 423-626-2172, and I'll email this page to you where you can have access to the archive messages that we've had since we've been on Church Radio. This is a service offered to you because, like I say, we don't get replayed except we pay for the replay. Other preachers on Truth, they seem to get favoritism as they're being replayed. We haven't ever been replayed that we know of. And we wonder why. Maybe it's because that we stir up too much dust in the camp. Well, we are not here to smooth over and patty cake or play mama pig with everybody. We're here to preach the gospel. And so be it that the controversial scriptures we bring causes a division. We didn't come to bring peace. We come to bring division. We come to set this house in order. And we want to return back to the old path and look as we go to Chapter 1, Matthew 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Remember, the son of David, the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob. And then all of a sudden, it starts from Jacob in the second verse to Judas and his brethren. Now, why would it jump from Judas? Judas ain't the first in the downline. Reuben would be the first. So we have an inaccurate downline position here. I'll say, well, they're just jumping around. I didn't have time to put them all in there. Well, it's very strange to me that Judas happens in here in the third verse when he's taken out of context in the downline genealogy. So that's why I'd like to see the charts. Well, I know the charts. I know where the scriptures are at to hunt up why he shouldn't be in this downline here. And we're going to tell you where they're at. We're going to clue you in to where all these mysteries have been hit because we want to save your soul. You can believe a lie and be damned. Now, it takes a man or a woman determined that nothing will separate you from the love of the gospel in your pursuit of truth. But you know how it is, the flesh man, he loves to wallow in tradition and a lie, and it seems that it's easier to take a lie in the flesh man than it is to take the truth in the spirit. Well, Here we go, verse 6. And Jesse begot David. Remember, very important. Now, right there, Jesse begot David the king. And King David begot Solomon. I've heard that had been the wife of Urias. Now, we're talking about Bathsheba here. And we told you about Solomon and his escapades, how his heart was not right with Yahweh. And we wonder why that he went out and as Esau, he did the same thing, ladies and gentlemen, that Esau did. Esau displeased Rebekah and Isaac because he loved these strangers, these Canaanite women, and married them and had offspring. Therefore, he was excluded. He was the elder, but he was excluded from birthright privileges by the design master plan of Yahweh. He took it away from him. You see, the Bible said you will know a tree by its fruits. We believe that there was some hinky-tinky going on in the pregnancy of Rebecca when she was pregnant with Isaac, see, Jacob. We believe he was the offspring of, and the scriptures will indicate it, but here Esau was a strange, hairy, reddish creature, like an Edomite, or there something thereof, but he popped up and he had no resemblance whatsoever to Isaac. And the Bible exclusively, and it tells us clearly that the scriptures didn't lie, that there were two nations of seed in her womb. Now, he would have said that if it had not been that they were two different bloodlines in her womb. I truly believe that. That she was impregnated with an outsider somehow. Now, I'll leave that on to your own imagination. I have my own theory, write for it, or call me personally, and I will give you some foundational background that it's still happening. Now, here we go. Jesse begot David, it says, and David begot Solomon. This is in the downline of Jesus Christ. Now, quickly, go to the book of Luke, verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heliah. And we go on down until we drop down. I'm in a hurry. 31. Now, you compare verse 31 of Luke 3 to Matthew chapter 1, verse 6. Compare those two scriptures, and you've got two different sons that the bloodline is supposed to be handed down through. Something wrong here. And, oh, I know those that are going to say, well, one of those, Pastor Buddy, was indicating that the mother's side, Mary, and the other was indicating the father's side, Joseph. Oh, really? Well, then why don't you come on here and you give us the information of how that is and where it is that it is. Let me give you a counterpoint here, praise Yahweh, as we look at the scriptures here as it is written here in the next verse of the same chapter. And we're going to drop down to the 20th verse. And while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh, it says, Lord, appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David. Well, now, would you believe that Joseph, instead of being a Jew, would be a Ephraimite? Is it possible that Joseph was an Ephraimite here, ladies and gentlemen? He was named after somebody in the downline of Joseph, Joseph himself, being the progenitor of Ephraim, the birthright son. Is it acceptable here to believe that Joseph, this man that had not known Mary, had no bloodline relationship and didn't put any semen or sperm into the bank here of Mary's womb to bring forth a son in his image? This son that was born of her was the son of God, the son of Yahweh, the bloodline not born of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but by the will of God, it says in John chapter 3. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Well, notice now, as we look here, and we're going to prove to you. Now, if you will, go back to the third chapter of Luke and Mark 31, right in the discrepancies here, or something's rotten in Denmark here. One says that Christ descended through Solomon, and the other says that Christ descended through, we're here in verse 31, that he descended through Nathan. Which was the son of David, which was the son of Jesse. And now which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salem, and so on and so forth. And now we've got the genealogy here, but we've got a problem here. Luke and Matthew don't really agree. You can't come from two sons here. You've got to come from one if you were talking about little bloodline descendants. Now, take your pick. Do you believe that Christ came through Solomon, this womanizer, this hellraiser, this Canaanite lover, which the scriptures strictly forbid? You think Christ would come from a tainted bloodline? Everything that Solomon had down after that through his bloodline would have been tainted. Oh, yes. Miscegenation, fornication. Christ couldn't come through that corrupted bloodline, ladies and gentlemen. I won't buy it in a heartbeat, and I don't think you will if you know anything about scriptures. And if you don't, then let us give you some things to ponder and think about. Now, if you will, Matthew chapter 1, again, verse 6. Turn back there. Now, if you will, you've got plenty of space in there to write this little scripture down to, for a reference point to go back to check the genealogy. That's what we're after tonight, ladies and gentlemen, by the way. I challenge you to go back to 1 Samuel. Get on back there, praise Yahweh. Get on back to 1 Samuel. Hold the scriptures in Matthew and Luke where you're at. Go to the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel and go to the 12th verse, and we're going to see who Jesse was downlined or genealogied after in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, the 12th verse. Somebody's left this one out. Somebody didn't doctor this one up. Oh my, something got away. Praise Yahweh. Something escaped the pen of the lion, pen of the scribes. Something escaped the eyesight of the scribes here, as they were trying to go through and masterfully, captively change the bloodline descendants from the tribe of Ephraim to the tribe of Judah. Why would they want a bloodline piping through Judah? Because Judah had brought Canaanite seed into the house of Israel. Yes, we're telling you the truth. I know you don't want to hear it, but you're going to hear it anyway. If you stay tuned, if you don't cut off the source of your listening device, and go play Mama Peg and get in a bell box somewhere and worship the Jews as God's chosen people. We're going to show you the discrepancy and the seed of discrepancy as we go into the scriptures. Now, here it is. Now, David was the son of that Ephraimite. That is Strong's number 669. We covered it before. We're nailing it down tonight in closing, wrapping it up, putting it in that. We're ratcheting it down and locking it to the deck, ladies and gentlemen, and no blowing waves could come along later and blow it off. Now, we challenge other preachers that don't believe this to come on free of charge on the shepherd's call and meet us face to face. Here it is. David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judea, whose name was Jesse. So Jesse was an Ephraimite. Well, duh, if Christ was the descendant, a son of David, then would he be an Ephraimite bloodline type? Would he then qualify for birthright privileges? Of course he would. Was Christ of Judah or was he of Galilee? You take your choice. I've done chose mine. I believe he was out of the territory of Galilee. Oh my, praise Yahweh. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're just tearing up all my belief system. I just wish you'd go away. No way. No way. It's not that easy. This is a hard saying, and who can hear it? You're going to have to pull off the blinders. You've been sleeping in the pea patch too long. Wake up. Praise Yahweh. All right, here we are. Now, there is a very, very important scripture now in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let me quickly go over to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and verse 30. If you're following me, run over there with me. Praise Yahweh. It won't take long to get over there. And then we're going to run back to Psalms 132:11. Now, remember, you've got your other fingers, or you've got your other bookmarkers in the other three scriptures we're holding to compare apples to apples and oranges to oranges. Now, if we're comparing apples to apples, then they must match apple to apple. We don't need an orange in here. Somebody has thrown an orange or something strange in the woodpile, if you get my message here. Praise Yahweh. And we are after the culprit that has done this. Verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, to who? To David. David, a descendant of Jesse. Jesse was a descendant of Ephraim. Oh, my, you say, I always thought he was a Jew, Pastor Buddy. Well, you see, you bit into that poison apple. Yeah, they doctored it up real good for you. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. I swallowed that poison apple doctrine for 30 years. If anybody's got a reason to cry and moan and groan and come kicking and screaming, it would be Pastor Buddy. But here I am trying to rectify those 30 years of stupidity and ignorance. You mean ignorant preacher? You was an ignorant preacher? Yeah. Ignorant and unlearned. The Bible said growing grace and knowledge. I ain't no smarter today 30 years later than I was 30 years ago. Then I ain't prospered much in a knowledge department. And I wouldn't pass the grade. To David in an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. Now, if Christ wasn't an Ephraimite, if he truly did come through David, and David was a lineage descendant of Ephraim, according to, there's other scriptures to be a fact, we're just giving you these just to whet your appetite, praise Yahweh, and we're holding the rest in reserve, and we're going a little here and a little there, as the scripture said, and we're putting line upon line, precept upon precept, and we are bringing home the, not the bacon, but the lamb. Hallelujah. And we're going to put him right on the throne, praise Yahweh, where he belongs, and we're going to put a crown on his head because he was birthright privilege from the tribe of Ephraim, that little obscure tribe that didn't make it into the genealogy downline as it was supposed to have. All those references have been excluded, with the exception of few that we still find in the old King James Bible. Praise Yahweh for the King James 1611, that we can go back before the tampering, or we know that they really tampered before that, but it came down in 1611 and in a way that we can get a little truth. Forgot now, this escaped the translators as they were trying to translate all the references to Ephraim out of the Bible so that they could get Judah. Now, why they want Judah in there? Not because he was a birthright son. He was not a birthright son. He has no authority to have the birthright. Didn't even have the scepter. He took that by prevailing. Oh, yes, he prevailed over his brethren, and therefore he was assumed that he was the birthright progenitor, that Christ would come from his seed. That's not according to scriptures and prophecy. Challenge you to go back to Genesis 49:24. While you're out, read verse 26. While you're out, read verse 22. While you're out, read verse 10. All of those scriptures are indicating, if you'll take time to smell the truth here, you'll get the rest of the story. Praise Yahweh. Now, quickly, back to Psalms again. I said 132. Follow me if you're going to nail it down here. Now we're coming down to the bottom part of the show here. We're going to have to close out this exciting series on Ephraim, as bad as I hate to. I'll come back to it sometime in the future if Yahweh permits this voice to stay on the air. If not, I'll be preaching it somewhere to some little congregation scattered across the United States. Or for that matter, I might be going to Great Britain. I might be going back to my rootstock of Scotland. Praise Yahweh. And there I could preach to my ancestors long over there. But here I am in America, bringing home the lamb. Praise Yahweh. And this is the truth. So help me Yahweh. It is wonderful to know it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. All right. 132 Psalms. Quickly. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David. Now Yahweh swore. Ladies and gentlemen, you make him a liar. Now we've done proved that David was an Ephraimite. He was a descendant of Jesse. Jesse was an Ephraimite, according to scriptures, and if Jesse was an Ephraimite, duh, who would David be?
You say, he would be from Judah. Jesus was a Jew, don't you know?
Well, then I might as well just rub you out and bypass your stupidity. If you want to be ignorant still. Go on to hell with all them that forget Yahweh. But if you want to save your soul, ladies and gentlemen, this is a challenging message. I love you good enough to tell you the truth, and you hate me for doing so. Now, would you rather have truth today and heaven tomorrow, or a lie today and hell tomorrow? Choose you this day. Yahweh has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of David's body will I set upon the throne. Oh, my. Now, we're going to have to get some attachment here to the tribe of Ephraim, not Judah. Christ was not a Jew. Now, quickly, to go back to, again, the book of Ruth. If you get to the book of Ruth, you will go quickly to chapter 1. Want these scriptures, if these are to put you on the trail, you should do your own search, praise Yahweh. If you are interested in those that are listening to me tonight and you're still with me, evidently you're interested or you wouldn't still be hanging in there. If you're just trying to catch me in my words or some of them trying to catch Christ, well, you just listen real good, ladies and gentlemen. Praise Yahweh. Yahweh, fill my mouth with wisdom and knowledge, and I know what the book says. And I know where it's been tampered with and where it ain't. Praise Yahweh. Excuse my redneck gospel ways. Here it is, verse 2. The name of the man was Amalek. Now, who was Amalek? His wife was named Naomi. If you look in the genealogy downline, the Jews have these people here in the downline of David as from Judah. Oh, really? Yep. That's what they do, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Have you never read in the scriptures? Christ berated those that were trying to say that he was himself a Judite when he said, have you never read in the scriptures? And in John 7:40-52, there was a raging debate whether it was out of Judah or whether it was out of Galilee. You take your pick. Now, this man, Elimelech and Naomi had two sons, Malchon and Chilion. These were Ephraimites, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Ruth is supposed to be the great-grandmother of David. Duh. Well, then, if she's downline, descending from and these marrying into these Ephraimites, guess what? She wasn't a Jew, ladies and gentlemen, as some people believe. Now, quickly, I've got to give you my mailing address, and here it is. Pastor Buddy, if you love me good enough to call me or write me, I'm telling you, I need to hear from you. Not that I'm in dire straits. I would just like to help you in your struggles to find truth. Now, if you don't want to take time, that's your loss. And it's just my time gain, praise Yahweh. But if you want to know, I'll take all the time I can and get you acclimated and get you instructed and get you positioned in the truth. Now, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. The zip is 37824. My telephone number, area code 423-626-2172. My, it's been good to be with you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night we're going to begin a very exciting series on the Orion Prophecy. I'm going to tell you that the end of the world may be nearer than what you first believe. And some of the information that I've got will astound you. Take it all in. We are going to get on that tomorrow night. See you tomorrow night. Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call a friend and tell them to listen in. Yahweh bless you, Jacob. We love you.
Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8